Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy.
And I am Rodrigo.
And today we're recording, man, just soccer every time, man. It's just fun to see soccer being played every time. But before we get started and talk about soccer, Rodrigo, how you been, man?
Quick life update from last week. It's been good. Been good over here. Had a fun weekend. Hung out with some of my wife's friend classmates, I would say, and then got to go watch the Black Widow movie. That was pretty good. So eventful weekend overall. What about yours?
Not too bad, man. Yeah, definitely. Was busy. Took off Friday, celebrating my daughter's first birthday. Woohoo! She's one. And we took her to the Children's Museum. Obviously, the one that enjoyed it was Remy, my son. Then went down to Galveston and pretty much tried to catch every game, which I was very surprised at myself. I actually got to watch Copa America, so it was great that got to see Argentina and Leo Messi win. And, of course, the Euro. And I had been rooting for Italy since the very beginning, so I was not disappointed. However, very disappointed on the way. I mean, racism coming, you know, to par, treating people like crap after, you know, definitely a disappointing loss for England losing at home. But, man, just so sad when, you know, things turn that way. But hopefully this brings some kind of light to, you know, all the Black Lives Matters and, you know, the aspects of just equality. I just feel is wrong. But yeah, what's up, man? Will you enjoy those games?
I didn't really get to watch the Euro. I don't know why, anyway, I was thinking, but I completely forgot the times. Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I scheduled the Black Widow movie right at 2.
Oh, good job.
So yeah, so that
I'm not gonna lie though, it was like when I started and they scored early, I was like, holy crap, here we go. You know, England is gonna put up like 2-3 goals and Italy's not gonna handle it. And of course it they ended up just kind of settling down, and it was so funny, man. So it was funny is that I actually ended up falling asleep because I was taking care of Addy, and I knocked out, and what woke me up was Benucci's goal. And then since then, I was just like, all right, I'm watching this game. So it's like nothing happened for the time that I took a nap because it was 1-0 the entire time. So it was good. It was good to watch. But I guess let's go ahead and talk about our soccer, man. No, I talked about Messi.
No, I'm kidding. I thought you were going to say, let's talk about Messi.
You know what? Actually, I do want to talk about. We talked about the Chivas Amazon Prime thing. I'm on episode 3 or 4, I think, out of 4. Yeah. And Rodrigo's proudly wearing his Chivas jersey. It's a good so far. And I decided to watch that over Loki because I'm kind of behind on it, too. So it's cool. No worries. I'll catch up eventually with all my nerdy stuff that I enjoy to watch. But I haven't watched Black Widow. But to be honest, it's not really like something I want to watch. I bet it's good, but I mean, it's not tickling my fancy, you know. So I don't know.
It's a good movie. Eventually. Spoiler alert:
Black Widow dies. Okay.
Right. It's a good movie. It's a good kind of. I mean, it really, you know, for those that enjoy Marvel movies and all that hype too. It's a good movie to watch, a lot of action, but it's basically just a little recap of what happened between the time everybody went undercover and when she was in. That's literally it. There's not much build up to the story. I mean, obviously they knew what they were doing, because at this point, I feel like Marvel, they just, more than anything, the MCU is the one making the movies. So if they just throw any movie out there, they know they're going to generate a lot of money.
Yeah, and so if you guys don't know, Rodrigo's a big Marvel nerd. He used to be Pop Marvel back in the day and had a massive collection. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's like, oh, man, really? You saying that? No, but, man, he knows his stuff. So that's another thing. If you guys don't want to talk soccer, you definitely can reach out to him with any Marvel conspiracy theories. But, you know, Rodrigo, let's go ahead and start talking about what we have been waiting for so long, being the Gold Cup. It finally started, and of course, CONCACAF is going to be CONCACAF, right? So starting with Group A, us as Mexicans, we were so happy and excited to see Mexico play Trinidad and Tobago. But there was a change in Group A. With Curaçao had been dealing with a lot of COVID-19 cases, and they were actually replaced by Guatemala in the group. So it pushed the Salvador Guatemala match a day. Was it a day? Right? It was just a day because it was supposed to be played on Saturday. Got moved to Sunday night.
Right.
But with further ado, we'll start talking about Mexico and Trinidad and Tobago. Rodrigo, your thoughts?
Man, kind of what we expected from both teams. You know, Mexico came in strong like always, basically controlled the game, did everything this game. But, you know, like we all know, they kind of fell short of the goal, literally. Generated, I don't know how many shots, probably over 20 at least, but couldn't, you know, score, nothing defined. They looked a little bit sloppy at times. Their passing, you know, was just kind of in good rhythm, but nothing to create. And then, man, Trinidad Tobago's goalkeeper, he actually had a lot of good saves this game. I don't know if you got to watch it. I think you did, right? What are you doing, bro? I asked you a question.
Repeat it.
No, I said that if you got to watch this game.
Yes, I definitely got to watch this game. Me and my father-in-law ended up just watching pretty much the whole second half together, but it was just depressing. I don't know if you mentioned it because I kind of went into some kind of sleep mode. But did you, to be honest, what threw off this game completely for Mexico? We know what Trinidad and Tobago is. You mentioned that, you know, they had a great goalkeeper. They're very physical. But having Chucky Lozano go out so early in the game after a clear foul that wasn't even checked by VAR, you know, pushed from the back. Chucky falls on the ground, gets knee directly in the face, and the poor guy had to go to the emergency room right away. It was just definitely uncalled for in the, 18 minute, I think, not even maybe 15 minutes
that he got. It was like, something like that.
And that changed the game completely. I mean, even having the players that Mexico has, you know, all there's like at least three other Mexican players around them that saw the collision, and it just, you know, gave everybody kind of PTSD with what Raul Jimenez suffered with the concussion and why not.
Not just that, I have a feeling everybody felt the same thing, like what Eriksen, you know, that was on the Euro.
Yeah.
Just the whole morale of the team just kind of went down. And at that point, especially if you know, you were that close to the action and you saw that for a while, it looked like he wasn't moving. I'm sure they were obviously thinking like, dude, like, this guy, did he just lose his eyes? He, you know, did he get a concussion? Is he?
But you know, it goes down to where I started the comment of CONCACAF is CONCACAF, because referees in CONCACAF are just so terrible, apart from Mexican referees. And there's a few good, like, MLS referees, I would say, but there's some pretty crappy ones. But the guy from Costa Rica, Ricardo Montero, I mean, not to throw referee name, and whenever you have to say a referee's name, that means they affected the match. But the guy, what, two yellow cards? Like, two yellow cards. That's it. That's all there was the whole game. There should have been way more for both teams. It just, he wasn't calling fouls for either of the teams. But that right there was, again, a clear penalty, clear maybe yellow card. I mean, yes, it's accidental. What happened to Chucky was definitely accidental. I mean, the chances of him landing on the goalie's knee and why not is definitely accidental. But it's still a foul. And you don't even check VAR. That's so disappointing. And it left, like, apart from the game ending 0-0, you know, to a very good, I think, Trinidad and Tobago, for how they've been, they set up well. Alvin Jones was probably their best player. That right back was just on fire, just shutting everything down. That, you know, it was when Ivan Lozano was on the field, he was all over it. But as soon as he left, he shut down everything. But where I was going with this is the fact that, you know, having the referee just be completely garbage, and then it goes all the way to the fans, right? Because the fans are seeing that nothing's being called, 0-0, and the homophobic chants start up again towards the end of the game when the team was actually pushing so much to get a goal, and it just never happened. And those chants kept, like, you know, it's kind of like a timeout. That's what it's been called, like, right? So they stopped the game. They put everybody in the middle of the field, completely ices the game. and you can see it in the reaction of like the Mexican players' faces. I mean, for Trinidad Tobago is great. I mean, this is just iced the game completely, but Mexico was suffering, dude.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, and then I think the worst part about it too, Alvarez ended up getting a yellow card because he was, you know, obviously going over to the ref and everything going on. Like, how do you give a yellow card, especially when, you know, it was clearly a push from the back? At least do something else, go to VAR. It kind of sucks that you would want to give somebody a red card that early in the game too, but after an injury like that, you at least have to do something to at least, you know, control the game more.
Like I said, it wasn't a straight red, but definitely
a yellow. I'm not saying a red, but like it's a push from the back, and which made it worse, you know, by the collision. But you can clearly see, you know, it's not like he was diving or, you know, completely lose his balance. I don't know. But apart from that, we still in Mexico. He just could not score after that. Their next match is actually going to be against Guatemala. That's going to be tomorrow, Wednesday. So that's obviously they have to go and get 3 points there if they want to advance to the next round.
Yeah, and I guess we can move on. There's a lot of hot topics on this Mexico game, but I think we've touched on everything relating to this match. I think they'll definitely come back, you know, strong against Guatemala and finish off with El Salvador. But I guess the second match, again, that was actually played on Sunday night was El Salvador against Guatemala. And El Salvador looked pretty good. They were very solid. Guatemala had played 2 games beforehand. They just looked tired, and it was just a matter of time before Salvador scored, and that's exactly what happened. It was great to see Alex Roldan get his first match and score a pretty good kick. There's actually a guy on Twitter, I think his name is Chepito 2K10 or something like that. Anyways, I think the guy saw actually Salvadoran, so shout out to all the Salvadorans that listened to our podcast. But he mentioned how it was exciting to see Alex Roldan, and somebody was like, well, he's a right back. And I'm like, in Seattle, he's a right back because there's no room for him to play in the midfield. But he's going to come in and command the midfield. And that's literally where you saw him. And he scored a great goal. And of course, in the 96th minute, they scored a second goal. So that just puts, obviously, Salvador top of the table right now. And they could easily find themselves being passing to the knockout by this match tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely great things from El Salvador. Like we had mentioned them before in their qualifiers and everything leading up for the World Cup and now this tournament, they really picked it up. And it's good to see, you know, a player that could have been playing in the U.S. and chose to play for El Salvador. Similar story with Arturo Alvarez, which we had the pleasure of talking to on this platform. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting match when they... on Sunday when El Salvador plays Mexico, because at this rate, El Salvador could be the contender for that first place in the group. And, you know, Mexico falling behind there. But with that being said, that kind of wraps up the first group. And following that, I guess we can talk a little bit about the other games that were played on Sunday, which is Canada versus Martinique and U.S. versus Haiti.
Yeah, good job on the on going to Group B, because that's what I was going to jump to. Canada, we've been talking about them, and they're a very solid team. Sad that Alfonso Davies was not a part of this squad because of injury. He had to leave. But Buchanan playing on that, was it Tajon Buchanan, I think is his name. Guy from New England Revolution in the MLS. He had just like a really good game. I think he was actually either assisted on 2 goals or 3 goals, but he was a part of each of the goals. And it was good to see. Martinique really found an early goal out of a mistake from the Canadians. And that was pretty much it. They didn't get to do much of anything after that. But again, Martinique, it may still give issues to either the U.S. or Haiti, of course, in their next matches. Radu, you want to add anything else on Canada?
Yeah, they just have a solid team overall, even though, you know, like you mentioned, they're missing Davis and then Jonathan David as well. But overall, I mean, they've been pretty solid. I like their style of play. And it looks like, you know, this is going to be one of those teams that we're probably going to be seeing in the semifinals.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely be there. Then jump into the next matchup that was in Group B was United States against Haiti. This game reminded me exactly of what the England-Italy game was. You know, the U.S. got a very early goal from their left back. And that was pretty much it. You know, they didn't look terrible. I mean, I think a lot of people expect more out of Team USA. Like we mentioned in the past, I mean, you're supposed to be here to win it. This team, you know, lacks the chemistry, of course. But they didn't look terrible. That's definitely the big question mark that is going to keep being asked is how they're going to do. But at least we get to see Gianluca Busio. Rodrigo, what did you see about Busio playing in his, I guess, his stadium, right? His home stadium of Kansas City.
Yeah, I was disappointed that he didn't get the start. But once he came in, he did, you know, what he always does, a lot of passing, trying to create as much as he could. Could have done better, could have had more opportunity, I feel like it. But overall, you know, I think he had a decent game, especially for his age. But, oh, man, this U.S. team, what Berhalter has been doing with them, I don't know. I have mixed emotions. I really was hoping for a good, younger version of developing players, you can say, for the next stage in the U.S. soccer, apart from all the, you know, the key players that are missing from the European teams, I guess you can say. I don't know. I was surprised that they go with, you know, Turner and goal, like just put Guzan in as well. Like, what, you know, like, you're not giving opportunities to younger players. So, like, does it even matter? Some of the choices, I think they could have done better and just play younger guys, you know, develop something and try to see if you can fit them into your system once all the other players are back or called up, I guess, for the next tournament.
Yeah, of course. It's definitely going to be challenging to see them the way they're set up. I will say, though, I'd rather have Matt Turner than like a Guzan playing, just because, of course, like you mentioned in one of our past episodes about a lot of all these guys, it's very doubtful that maybe Sebastian Legette will be into the World Cup if they make it, right? Because most of the Europeans pretty much have all their spots already taken for the United States. But seeing them struggle against Haiti, you know, winning 1-0, I mean, we mentioned that Haiti is not a walk in the park. They have very good players. And I think the next matchup for Haiti against Canada is going to be a heck of a match. And there we'll see if Canada puts another 4 goals and Haiti nothing, then we're going to see a big gap between Canada and the U.S., at least in this Gold Cup, right? Because it's not the U.S. main team that we're seeing. Again, on Twitter, definitely I kept seeing people just frustrated with the U.S. They were just playing awful. I mean, if you look at the stats, they're extremely even against Haiti, even though possession was much higher for the U.S. But they were just not clicking in all cylinders, and it goes to show that chemistry is a big deal. All these guys haven't really played with each other. I am glad that some of these guys, like, you know, Busio and other younger guys are getting the shot to at least play and get some minutes, because I think that's what's frustrating whenever they don't get any minutes, you know, and it's definitely good to see players get some minutes. Like Sam Bynes, the guy that scored a goal, he's been very good with Colorado Rapids. And of course you have like Miles Robinson, that's a good center back. And I think the one that kind of was very good, kind of surprising, cause I had never really heard of him, was Shaq Moore. The dude plays in Spain, for Tenerife, and he was very solid. But other than that, I think we do expect more for the U.S. We expect them, to win or definitely make it to the final. You want to add anything else, or you want to jump to Group C?
No, we can take it to Group C. The only thing I would add is just, you know, I was excited to watch this Haiti team play. Like you mentioned, it's a pretty good team. So I still think they could, I don't know, maybe pull an upset against Canada. And then maybe Canada can do something against the U.S. and they might make it to the next round somehow. But yeah, it's a good team to watch, and they kept it pretty even with the U.S.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see in the next coming matches. So moving to Group C, we have Jamaica play Suriname and Costa Rica play Guadeloupe. The Jamaica match was a fun one because we got to see finally a lot more of Leon Bailey. I think he started out kind of cold. He had a few little mess ups in the beginning, but eventually kind of felt, you know, comfortable with the ball at his feet playing for Jamaica, and they scored some pretty good goals. I mean, I don't know if you got to watch this game, but the one for the second goal by the Cordova Reed was just a fantastic strike off a volley from outside the 18. And you know, Suriname did not look bad. They were not, you know, they're still very good. They were keeping pretty up to pace. I think they actually even had a couple more shots, less on target, but a couple more shots towards the goal. And they actually had more possession. The team looked very good. Obviously, we know Suriname has a ton of players that were either born in Netherlands or have some, obviously, origin to the Netherlands. And it was good to see them. It was kind of fun to watch this game. Again, overall, pretty even. We know Jamaica is a very strong team, and they use that physicality like most of the Caribbean teams to push around their opponents. But Rodrigo, anything you want to add for the Jamaica match?
Yeah, Jamaica's coming, like you mentioned, good players. Reed, had been watching him in a couple games of the Premiership. Unfortunately, you know, Fulham ended up relegating, so we won't see much of him anymore. But he had been playing well, and yeah, he got, you know, found the back on the net with a nice goal. And just to add that, you know, going back to the same topic, somebody like Mason Greenwood would be a good addition for them.
Man, it'd be fantastic to see him, Mason Greenwood, if he decided to play with Jamaica. And, you know, what would help Jamaica's case is definitely would be to do good in this Gold Cup, right? To, like, show that they have a team that can compete and make it to the – or fight for a spot for the World Cup. So that can just push a young Mason Greenwood to pick, you know, CONCACAF as the region to compete in. When, you know, obviously teams like England, like as we saw there, you know, you have, again, we've talked about this, you have Jadon Sancho like riding the bench, and sadly when they put him in, it's just strike a peak. I mean, how are your confidence level? It has to be terrible when all you're asked is to come in and do a peak. But that's besides the point. I don't want to get too much into the Euro, kind of done with that face in my life. But hey, jumping to the second match, I guess, was Costa Rica against Guadeloupe. Costa Rica put their probably starters. What was great here was to see Ari Lassiter score his first international goal. Obviously, Houston Dynamo, no, Ari Lassiter. And funny enough was to see our friend, our San Jag representative, Francisco Calvo, get punched in the stomach, and then the other guy got red carded, which was hilarious to me because I'm like, hey, you literally took one for the team. But Rodrigo, what do you want to add on this?
I'm like, add on Calvo. I'm surprised he didn't get a yellow card this game. But no, man. Yeah, that was kind of interesting to watch, and just brings me back memories. I remember one, this is off topic from CONCACAF, but I remember one match. We were playing, I forgot what team, but the we were both undefeated. So this game went over to extra time. And this extra time game, and I remember, like, we were taking a break, and he was drinking water. And he didn't even say anything to anybody, but this guy just comes and, like, tries to sucker punch him and miss, but just hit the water bottle out of his hands. And I remember we ended up the game with 8 players each team. And I remember it was golden goal, so I think we scored a really nice goal just to end the game. But other than that, Costa Rica, you know, everybody played really well overall. And they have a strong team, even with, you know, Keylor Navas not in goal. And yeah, congrats to our Dynamo player, more than anything, Lassiter, on his first goal, first international debut. doing big things, and hopefully, you know, the Dynamo can see that he's prepared for that challenge and give him some more minutes. I know, you know, Urruti has been doing well, but it's you got to sub more players in. You know, off topic as well, but the Dynamo, you have to start making more subs earlier on, or just preparing better, you know, knowing who's going to come on at, you know, points of the game. But that's on that. Guadeloupe, we kind of knew they were going to struggle, and obviously they did. And I just don't see much things going on for them as well.
Yeah, so we'll jump to Group D. This one being played in Houston, Texas, out of all places, and they started up today. We were hoping to record halfway through the second match of Honduras against Granada, but of course, Houston being Houston and being 7-1-3 day and all this, and it hasn't stopped raining. I think I added on Twitter how Houston is the new Seattle. It seems like, man, starting to get a little depressed with all this rain. But Rodrigo made a great statement that he said. What did you say about the stadiums?
I'm like, not like the other stadiums. You know, you have the NRG, you have the Minute Maid. Obviously, Toyota Center doesn't really apply, but they're all covered, man. They should have just built a covered stadium. I mean, we know it rains. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I hope that the new owner sees that. I mean, this game got delayed almost like an hour and a half or something like that. Obviously pushing. I think the Honduras match is supposed to start at 10:30, which is ridiculous. I mean, you lose so much fan base just because, you know, anytime it rains, like especially like a year like this year, that it seems to rain like every single day. It just
Tuesday night.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta go to work next morning.
On a Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, our friend Christian from 442 is out there, and he's actually going to be reporting and sharing his reporting for us. He reached out to me because he was able to get the media pass for the CONCACAF matches. So he's out there today. Poor guy is going to be there till the Honduras-Granada match finishes up. And he has to work like at 4 or 5 in the morning. So, you know, it kind of sucks for sure. But talking about that right now, the game that is being played is still Qatar-Panama. And even though it was delayed, like I mentioned, quite a bit, it looks like it's been a fun game. They've scored, I think it's 3-3. Ridiculous how many goals it's been. We'll touch it. The game's almost over. So we talked about the fact that Qatar is a pretty good team. All of their players, I believe, play in the Qatar League. And they're just one of those teams that they're trying to build something, right? They get the World Cup next year. And the style that they're looking for is kind of like a Barcelona style, kind of Brazilian style that they're trying to impose. And overall, it seems like they're getting the hang of it. Of course, they haven't played much in the last couple years as they're trying to get ready, just playing a ton of friendlies. So this is going to be probably as competitive as it gets for them as they will host next year's World Cup. You want to add anything on Qatar, Rodrigo?
No. For this game, we'll be watching the highlights. When we got on, it was 0-0, game delayed, and then all of a sudden, in less than 20 minutes, you know, now it's 3-3, like crazy. But so I'm excited to watch this highlights and see, you know, how the goals come about. And then, yeah, we have Honduras against Granada coming up next. Later game, 10:30, hopefully Central Time, if they don't get delayed anymore. This game's going to finish at midnight, past midnight, really. But, you know, our former Dynamo player, Albert Feliz, and we also have Figueroa playing on this match as well. And
yeah, there's definitely plenty of them. They actually have the lineup out. I don't know if it's the correct one. At least the website has it that I'm looking at. And it looks like Figueroa from the Dynamo's playing. Bonia Garcia starting. Former Dynamo player Alex Lopez. And it looks sadly that Elise and even Kyoto are on the bench, which, I mean, I've mentioned a bunch of times, so I'm very excited to see him. And looking at Granada, it looks like they actually have 3 players less on their bench. That's odd compared to Honduras. But in this game, I definitely see Honduras being the favorite. There's already a ton of Hondurans at BBA repping for, of course, their players. And it should be a fun game to watch. I'm hoping that once we're done recording, like you said, game starts pretty soon, and try to watch as much as I can. I do have to be up like around 3 a.m. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, definitely. I'll try to catch it as well here shortly, hopefully, and watch as much as I can. But yeah, and I see the Broncos themselves on the bench, which is kind of weird. Maybe they're trying to rest a couple players.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, hopefully it's not a COVID thing, or I don't know if they were just short players or something, injury. I did one thing on Honduras. I believe one of their players, one of their pretty good players, to be honest, too, I think tore his ACL during a practice. I don't know if it happened today, or it had to happen sometimes this week. But let me double check the guy's name. I just saw it. Man, I'm blanking on the guy's name. Oh, yeah, it happened yesterday. It kind of sucks. Michel Chirino, so not a pretty good player. Dude plays for Olimpia currently. He's a winger. I think he's the one that split time with Kyoto and Elise. He sad for him, he's going to be out for like 6 months with a torn ACL. And I think he already went ahead and got surgery done. And the one that replaced him was actually Franklin Flores. So anyway, just a little thing for the Honduran fans out there that the other team is still very strong. I definitely put them as the favorite for this group. And right now, if you know, the tie holds, which I'm assuming it did 3-3, Honduras has the opportunity to jump first of the group for sure if they win tonight. But anything you want to add, Rodrigo? I know we'll catch up next week and talk about, I guess pretty much we'll catch all of the second round and maybe even some of the third day matches as well.
Yeah, just exciting how it's going to pan out for the remaining games. The third round is probably going to be the most exciting as we see the stronger teams face against each other. But yeah, it's going to be exciting to see what Mexico can do, and also the U.S. if they can, you know, win or make it to the final.
Yeah, and actually, we may be able to record on Wednesday night, and by then, all the matches will be played by Wednesday night, because I think the last ones are on Tuesday, actually. So we may be able to kind of capitalize on who's in the group or on the knockout stages. And so forth. And I do not plan, I wanted to, but I don't think I'll be able to go to any of the games for Group D. But I'm hoping to make it to a semifinal. Hopefully Mexico gets to play here and not in Austin, but we shall see. Either way, maybe catch the US or something. Those games are always fun to go to. But yeah, with that said, I mean, that's pretty much it. Make sure that you follow our social media accounts on Twitter, on Instagram, and you can follow myself or Rodrigo as well on Twitter, on Instagram, and wherever you listen to us, make sure to subscribe, like, and share our information. You know, it seems like we keep growing, so just keep having to, you know, what is it, word by mouth? Is that how the saying goes? I don't know, it sounds weird. I may be saying it completely wrong because, you know, I'm Mexican and I have like those times that my ESL kind of kicks in and I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyways, make sure to share, let us people know what, you know, that this CONCACAF focus podcast that we have going on, and keep crossing soccer borders.